welcome back to another Fresh Brewed episode of Lattes and Lasers, where we chat about the maker business and stuff we hope you find enlightening and helpful. I am Amy Cant, and as always, I am joined here with my co-host, Holly McKeag. Hey, Holly.
What's up? Gosh, can you believe us? We're almost done.
I know, it's
crazy, but
exciting.
I feel like I'm in my groove now, though.
Yes, I do too. And I think it's exciting. We have some great stuff planned for today and next week. And I think it's going to be a good wrap up to the season for sure.
I do too. I really do. Yeah, it took us a little while to get our groove going, but like I feel like I have like my routine figured out and just how it works and flows and feels really good. Even though last week was like our first time of like screwing up a few times while we were recording.
Yeah.
Except
for about 2 minutes ago.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah, y'all, I messed up the intro like two or three times. So
it's good.
It happens. I'm human. It's
maybe
a Friday.
Like,
we recorded on Wednesday. Like we're doing a double record.
I know. I'm thinking like once we get into hiatus, maybe if we have time, we skim through all of our episodes and find all of our bloopers and funny things, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You know,
Something
when
to
I
do.
have free time, we'll add
Wait.
That to my list. When I have free time.
Amy and I always say, you know, in my free time. And so we're gonna make merch with shirts that say, you know, in my free time.
I mean, for reals. I say that all the time. And then I'm like, wait, Amy, you don't have free time.
No, exactly. Well,
it's cool, whatever.
You know, it is. It's one of those things. It is what it is.
Yep. For sure. For sure.
Amy, what is in our cup today? I'd love to know what we're drinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can smell it.
I make
it.
That sound, that kind of sounds like I don't know what I'm drinking. I know what I'm drinking, but let's tell the audience.
Let's tell everybody else what we're drinking. So, okay. I wish there was smell-o-vision because both the beans and the brewed coffee just smells so yummy. This week, we are drinking Wake the Hell Up Buttercup, which is a blend from Utica Coffee Roasting. And here's what they have to say about this blend. Indulge in creamy peanut butter and sweet chocolate in your mug. Each bay contains fresh, medium, dark roasted coffee with up to 50% more caffeine. Yeah. No bitter taste, no coffee jitters will be the...
Yeah, we'll be the judge of that.
We'll be the judge of that. And what makes it special? They roast in small batches in Utica, New York, to ensure you get really fresh coffee. All of their coffees are gluten, allergen, and sugar-free. So I'm guessing even though it's peanut butter cup, that means it's peanut butter peanut-free, I would think.
I'm assuming, yeah.
There's got to be other essences. I forgot the bag in the kitchen, but it does have a really nice, like, zipper reclosable bag where a lot of times coffees have that, roll over.
Yeah.
And so I do think that's going to keep things fresher longer. All right. I haven't actually drank it yet.
Oh, I like it. This may be my number one.
Oh my gosh, Holly, it's so good.
Like it's sweet, but not like that. Oh my God. So overpowering like the cookies
no.
and dream was. But
yeah,
it's,
the over cookies no. and dreams was too much for me.
This is probably my favorite. And I know we talked about possibly ranking our coffees
yeah.
at the end of the season. And
I think we may have to. Guys, this is really good.
I like it.
Seriously, like the smell is so
Yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Like the one we tried last week, I felt Whew. Just, or was it with the week before? I can't even remember what day, but there was
last
one
week
that
was
just,
the bulletproof. And then the week
yeah,
before that
was the
counterculture.
Counterculture. And I like that one. Whatever. There was one that just tasted like smelled cheap when it was brewed, you know? And like this just, it smells indulgent.
Yeah. I can see myself buying this one again, like for myself. Like I liked it. Yeah.
I can too. And they have a lot of interesting like blends, but I'm really surprised that this didn't turn me off because I'm not a big fan of the super sweet and it
Yeah.
does not taste sweet,
No.
but it does feel rich.
Yeah.
But not overpowering.
No, I think it's like just perfect. Like I really do like it, which makes me want to check out and see if they have any like sample bags of like all the different stuff they have. And maybe I'll just try them all out and see. I personally am a fan.
I'm a big fan. We're gonna
Yeah,
have to hit them up on social and see if they can send us some more.
I had a cup this morning when I got up, and then I made a small cup for the episode. And this one, I just have a little bit of my French vanilla creamer with it, which perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
It's great. It's really nice.
It's really good. And I don't know if you can see, your girl even has a Stanley coffee mug.
Ooh, nice. Fancy.
It's nice and hearty. It is something you could not put in the microwave.
Oh, I was gonna say, yeah.
But I like it. I'm like, it's a nice like party mug, and I like to collect coffee mugs, and so
Well,
why
I did
not
that
get
for
a
a while.
Stanley? I already have a regular Stanley.
I used to collect coffee mugs, and then it was to the point of like anytime you buy a new one, Holly, you have to get rid of one. And so I don't buy mugs anymore, really, other than I did
You
get one
just
at
bought
Casa
one like
Bonita.
2 weeks ago.
I was like, well, I'm going to Casa Bonita. I have to have one from
Well,
Casa
then you got
Bonita.
the Sob and Robin. You
I got
bought
this.
two in the last
I
month.
did. I have a, but I haven't bought them in like four. It's been several years since I bought a coffee mug. So like if somebody gives me one, that's fine. But
Yeah.
like, but I was like, I need some new mugs because honestly, I need to get rid of the Ray Duns. Look, it's basic white girl.
Yeah.
It has to go away. It's done. It's
Well, and they're
grown.
so thick. I love getting coffee mugs to commemorate like a trip or a special
Yeah.
place,
Casa
or if it's just
Bonita.
something that I think is really funny. And so I like to order them on Etsy as well. Like I have a Hanukkah one that looks like, and I'm not Jewish, but I have a Hanukkah one that looks like an ugly Christmas sweater that has Ruth Bader Ginsburg on it.
Nice. I love
Yeah.
it.
And then here's one that I got on Etsy. It's backwards, but it says, as soon as I hyper focus on this, it's over for you bees.
Oh, I love it.
Paul tells me, Amy, we don't have room for more coffee
I
mugs.
don't.
And I'm like, but we do. And the thing is, like, we have like the plain white set that came with like our
Oh,
dishes from Kohl's. Do I need to keep those? No.
no.
I probably don't, but I kept them. I think I'm gonna have to do a donation run soon.
Yeah,
St.
for sure.
Vinny's or something.
I like it. It's good to
Yes,
go.
and don't forget, folks, you can support Lattes and Lasers by buying us a coffee. So just head over to our website, lattesandlasers.com, click on support. Thank you to everyone who has supported us so far. We appreciate it.
We will be collecting coffee ideas over the summer, so for sure,
Yes,
keep coming us.
absolutely. We will. So we're excited to see what we can find for the next season. We have next week's picked out already, so we're good this season, but we're definitely looking for some for next. Right, today's episode is a special one as we are exploring a topic at the forefront of the creative world. And that is how AI or artificial intelligence is revolutionizing the makerspace. And we're not just talking about any aspect of AI. We're going to go in depth on tools like Midjourney, ChatGPT, and how they are changing the game for artists, creators, and marketers in the maker community.
To help us navigate this kind of cool digital transformation, which can I just say, feels like it just appeared out of nowhere. Like it doesn't feel like there was a transition here. It was
Yeah,
very,
I would
very
agree.
interesting.
Very
But
just in your face.
it was, right? So to help us out a little bit, I've kind of reeled somebody in, a special guest joining us, Jake McKeag. He's actually a first responder, but also has a knack for AI, kind of studying a lot of that. And another fun fact, my brother. So welcome, Jacob, or Jake.
Hi, Jake.
Hi, Amy and Holly. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to dive into this with you guys.
Yeah, we're
Yeah.
excited to have you.
Yeah, we love AI. AI is kind of our thing. Before we jump into the AI thing, Jake, I did want to kind of just touch on something about the fact that you are a first responder. And I don't think many realize that a lot of first responders also kind of are in the creative space world as well. Like they may not associate it with that. And I know a lot of first responders, especially with lasers, I find are also side hustling with lasers. So tell us just a little bit about that side of your world. I know you've had a couple of side hustles in the creative world, and then how you got into AI as well. A little bit.
First responders pretty much always have side hustles in general, but a lot of them are, like you said, in the creative space. There's a lot of folks in the market for custom department patches and logos and marketing type things like glassware or signage or clocks to tables, all sorts of different things that they like to have with their either their individual, like fire truck companies or department logos or just more generalized first responder type items. As far as getting into AI, I actually am currently pursuing a bachelor's degree in science from the University of Colorado for computer science and with an emphasis in artificial intelligence and data science.
Jake, that sounds pretty intense. That study program. So you're doing that while you're working full time?
Yeah, so work full time, 40 plus hours a week. Fortunately, I'm in more of a supervisory type capacity now, so I'm not out on the streets every day. So that helps a little bit. Also, father of two and husband of one, and pets and all sorts of things. But I find time to be a roughly a half-time student. It's taken me a little while, and I just kind of put it together piece by piece. But something that I'm passionate about, and one day I'll have that done.
That's awesome. Now, what have you done creatively in the maker space?
I like to do all sorts of things. I've dabbled in laser cutting and engraving. I've dabbled in CNC machining, wood carving, epoxy resin pours, 3D printing, even as far as electronics work, tinkering and things like that. A little bit of everything.
Back in the day, like when he first moved to Colorado, he even had a beard supply company, what did you, what was, would you call it? Beard supply, like waxes and shaving
Yeah, we
things and stuff.
made shaving supplies and aftershaves and all sorts of things. Unfortunately, it got a little too busy for me, and I was broke as can be at the time, so I didn't really keep up with it.
Yeah, Jacob and I got the we got the creative gene in our family. We both are more of that
The
type, so
hustler. I like it. How do you think that AI can play into the creative space?
I think a lot of the tasks that people maybe don't realize can take up a lot of time can be automated. Things like your marketing, whether it's your graphic design needs, or maybe it's just the blog post or the Facebook marketing or how wherever else you might be putting that sort of things out there, or even just product descriptions and things like that. Things that really do matter from search engine optimization type things that you've never really had any type of training in or thought about before. It just really takes a lot of the heavy lift off of you to focus on what it is that you want to do, which is creating.
Yeah, absolutely. I think both of us have dabbled into it quite a bit now. Like it's a part of our daily routine for sure. So going into the whole AI thing, let's talk for a minute about Midjourney. Have either of you gone into Midjourney and done anything with it yet?
Yeah, I've done a little bit in the last like month or two. I've started dabbling, testing it out. It really is like a training for yourself to figure out how you need to give the prompts to get the piece that you want from it. So I know I haven't dabbled in it as much as you have, Holly, but I've definitely been playing around and seeing if it might be something that I can utilize to just help my own workflow or to even help develop things for, like a clip art Etsy shop, looking for those passive income opportunities in the creative space.
Yeah, I have not actually messed with
No,
Midjourney.
it's very cool, but it can be a little complicated to figure out. So basically, for those who don't know, Midjourney is an AI tool designed to help artists, digital creators, etc., create visual content. So it can inspire new ideas, refine ideas, even create marketing materials, as Jake mentioned, as far as AI is helpful with. You can use Midjourney to generate product visuals. It does save you a lot of time. So it's a chat-based app. It's hosted through Discord and it uses natural language prompts to generate images. So you basically would type in something like watercolor peony flowers in pinks with minimal shading. And you have to be kind of general, or like specific, like what you want it to actually output. And then you may get some things that look great and you may get some things that look weird. Like it's not good with hands, let me tell you. You get weird arm positions and stuff. I'm all like, oh, can I Photoshop that? I don't know. Yeah. So it's quite an interesting thing. Now I have used it to generate clip art. So I actually started another little Etsy shop, kind of a side hustle thing where I'm generating more like watercolor style sublimation files for people to buy on Etsy. So it's kind of really very passive. It's done fairly well so far. I've had it up about a month. But the other thing is, I've used Midjourney to pop in ideas I needed for something, like say a coloring page. I was hired to create several, like a coloring book for a group. And I needed ideas, but I knew it wasn't going to generate like a perfect coloring page for me. And I needed it to still be my own. But it gave me like a starting point of some ideas. And I was able to use that to kind of like help master it for my own use. But the funny thing is, I did actually use Midjourney to help us with the Lattes and Lasers logo. No, it's not the final, but I did plug in like, hey, this is what we're calling this podcast. You know, what kind of ideas could we, what kind of things can you come up, kind of thing like that. And it did help me get inspiration to sort of get to where we got to with this logo. So it's a cool thing if you really know how to work it and you have the patience.
Yes, you definitely need the patience. And then if you do want to use it for printing, you do need a way to upscale the file because you're going to get a low
Correct.
res output.
Right. And I've actually started using a software called Topaz, and it does upscaling for you. It does an amazing job. But then you do still need to learn how to do things like removing the white backgrounds you usually get and that kind of thing. So there is still a little bit more you have to do. You can't just like, unless you're using it online, you can't, you know, you really have to kind of still make it your own sort of thing. So it's interesting. And there is a free option, I know, but there are paid plans, and all that does is pretty much just speed up your generation time. So like your how fast you get something. It's cool. It's interesting. Yeah.
A lot of people seem really scared about, well, AI in general. I've seen a lot of visual artists get really concerned about copyright infringement with the AI Midjourney. I don't know, Jake, have you learned anything about that kind of piece of AI with school?
Yeah, so the ethics of it is super interesting just in general. I think we just don't know. It's such a new frontier. I mean, you think about one of the examples that we talked about is like plagiarism in general. Plagiarism, it's in itself is still relatively new if you think about it. If you go back 1,000 years and you look at libraries, that they were restricted really to members of clergy, right? And so you had to just trust that the members of clergy were relaying that information, whether it was coming from them or coming from the books, who knew? And then they became a little more accessible, and then you had to sort of come up with these ways to give credit where credit was due, and then it became just a button click to find this information. Then it became really important to give credit where credit was due, and it's still we're finding new ways that you have to cite sources and things like that. Some people are better at it than others. And so I think that's kind of where we're at with AI is like what is really a unique thought or a unique new idea versus not? And how do you define that? So I think that's still to be determined, really.
I agree, and I think it's really, we're just at this like infancy of this. I mean, think about it, the internet is a baby in comparison to the world, right? But I think we're going to see a lot come out, especially from the ethics standpoint and the legal standpoint, a lot more as the technology continues to evolve.
Yeah, wasn't it just recently in the strike with the actors and the writers? I think their part of their contract was written in to not be replaced by AI, and that was like something the unions really wanted them to make sure that they're protected. So yeah,
That's
you're right. It's
fair.
new. It's new territory, and
I've been seeing more and more of these. I have this, a friend of mine sent me a guide that he was putting together about somebody wanting to get into like data analytics. And it was just sort of a step by step. Here's some things you should consider. And on his guide, he put a badge on there saying, created by human, not AI. And I'm seeing that more and more, somebody putting that on their
Well,
media just to make that stand out.
that's funny you say that. I have been a part of some groups that talk about creating digital passive income, clip art, printable invitations, that kind of thing. And there's right now, like sites like Etsy and stuff don't require you to, some do require you to say this was generated with AI or not. But they're starting to encourage people to just at least include that in some way in their listings. So people do at least just know,
Disclose
So,
it, right? Just like you would disclose when you have a physical item, smoke-free, pet-loving home, that kind of stuff. It just kind of goes into that list of standard disclosures. And then, the buyer can decide if that is something they want to support or not.
It's interesting.
So I think that's a good segue, moving from visual art and AI generation. Let's move into text and ChatGPT. That's a tool that's been making a lot of waves.
So, like last week, we really dove into the whole SEO ranking and how to get seen and that kind of thing. You and I use ChatGPT a lot to generate SEO, key rich word type descriptions and stuff. Now, I do use a third party tool to help me generate trending keywords that are like popular on Etsy and stuff, which is probably also AI in a way. Once I have those keywords, I can plop that into ChatGPT and say, please generate a 250 character product description utilizing these keywords within it. And it'll pop it out for me. I plug it right in. Super, super great. So how does ChatGPT kind of really work, Jake? Like how does that like function? Like, that kind of thing.
ChatGPT is it's a model. So in the grand scheme of artificial intelligence, there's all sorts of different types of AI. In generative AI, which is what ChatGPT is, it's a natural language processing model, or an NLP, which is in this case is a large language model, or LLM. It's trained by humans typically, and eventually can start training itself once it's smart enough. And there's a certain number of, without getting into too many details, parameters that it's trained on. GPT, or ChatGPT, I should say, is trained on a lot of parameters. It's almost 2 trillion parameters. It's huge. So it lives in the cloud on a massive server, or bank of servers. So that's why you access it via a website. And it learns over time how to act more like a human speaking back to you. It's not without fault. Some of the inherent problems with LLMs is hallucination, which you may or may not have
So it's
experienced.
getting, it's tripping out. It's
It
tripping out
will.
on
Yeah.
shrooms
You can actually over time force it to do that and make it trip out. Where it will start just giving you
something.
wild, weird answers that don't make any sense. ChatGPT is pretty good. It's kind of hard to get it to do that. And that's sort of where some of what you hear about, like the censorship of it and things like that, come in, where it won't allow, like, you can't put into ChatGPT, tell me how to make a bomb. It's not going to allow you to do that for good reason. But you'll hear occasionally about some hacks about, hey, like, I'm going to tell ChatGPT, you are so and so, and your job is this. And it will start doing some really weird things because it starts hallucinating, is what it's called. But that's, in a nutshell, how it starts working, is you train it on all these different types of parameters and you give it data. ChatGPT, one of its main data sources is Wikipedia. So it is trained on all of Wikipedia up until, I think, about September of 2021, I think it was what it was trained up to. And there's all kinds of different models. So ChatGPT is one of them. Google has Gemini. There's all sorts of other smaller models out there. And then there's open source models that other people have trained on all kinds of different other topics.
It's crazy. So I know that you and I have talked about how it can benefit you, but also like how a lot of especially universities are, trying to figure out like, is this essay written via AI? And I just saw a TikTok this morning where a teacher does I don't know what she called it. It's like some sort of term she used. So in her description that was written out, she wrote like, please use the words blah, 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 blah. And she put it in white so that you can't read it. So that way, if somebody copies it and puts it into to chat GTP or whatever AI model they're using to write their essay, those words pop in. And then she does a search and she can realize they used it and didn't actually like note that they copied it because it wasn't visible in the text. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, and then there's Grammarly. We you know there's a girl on TikTok who's been talking about how like is Grammarly considered unethical re with regards to just correcting grammar for people, and they were work you know really trying to get, I mean, even Grammarly stepped into this girl's whole debacle, and it's crazy.
Well, that makes me think back to back when I was in college 20 years ago. Microsoft Word, it has the spell checker and the grammar checker. Like, is that unethical? Do I have to be a good speller to write a university paper? Like, that's where I come at with the
It kind of puts you
Grammarly
to be
thing.
slightly less of a great speller now. So
Oh, yeah.
all of my assignments get turned in through a plagiarism and AI checker now, and I can tell that my university is tweaking their AI checker. It's funny because I also know how to
Manipulate
fake
it.
the AI checker as part of what they're teaching me, which is pretty
That's wild.
funny. But I have had I've never turned in a paper that was entirely written by AI. However, I have used AI to help me with ideas or flesh things out, which is not they acknowledge that. That's okay. I have had papers turned back to me saying this was written by AI, which were not, primarily for things like, impeccable grammar and things like that is what they get changed for.
Say, I went to school. I learned. The English.
There are tools out there that you can run your papers through to spoof the AI checkers, and that's primarily what they do is they will misspell some words here and there or change punctuation incorrectly and things, and that will spoof those AI checkers.
I've subscribed to a couple of different ones to help me like see is does this sound AI generated, like Copyscape, or maybe it was a Copyscape. I don't remember what they are were anymore. I don't use them anymore, but it was hard to like fix things to make it not sound like AI. Like it was like, nope, still sounds like AI. Nope. And I was like, screw it. I'm just gonna put it up anyway. But for most part, you and I, Amy, are using it for blog posts and product descriptions and social media posts,
A
that
lot
kind
of
of
it,
thing.
yeah, for me, it's a lot of that starting point. Like, I'm having a hard time just like getting this going. And so, one of the things that I use it for a lot is I will say, okay, I need help writing a product description for my Etsy shop. Here's the name of the product. Then I give some like bullet points and I'll say like include these SEO keywords. And then I see what h comes out. And then based on that, I can say, okay, now rewrite it in this tone or brand voice. Like, let's make it a little more playful, or feel free to use some puns. Like, we'll do that for lattes and blazers because we want to include puns that are coffee or maker related. So we'll often, okay, now let's try to do this. And I would say, for the most part, for like product descriptions or blog posts or like our episode descriptions, those type of things, I use it as a starting point. I don't just copy paste and then say I'm good. Now, I will do that for social media because
I
I'm
don't have
like,
time.
that's, I don't have time for that. And this is speeding up my process. But, one of the things I did this morning was, I put in my product description. I said, I need to write a Facebook post promoting this product. It shot the thing out. I copied pasted and it was in my Meta Business Suite. Then I said, okay, now write this as an Instagram post. And then it gave me a one paragraph version with hashtags. And so then I could post the product to both things in one place. And for me, have like a really strong social media strategy for my maker business because a lot of my business is just coming natively from Etsy. So to me, it's worth just relying on the AI tools for those social media posts.
Yeah.
But I really do feel that for other things, it still needs a human touch after you get it.
It's funny you say that. Like, I will use it, like, especially being in kind of a volunteer world that I'm in. Sometimes I
Yes.
have to reply to emails, right?
Yes.
That may not be favorable responses. And so I will go, ChatGPT, here's what I want to say. Please make it sound friendly and nice. And it will. And then I can use that to kind of make it a little bit better. And it's
I
super
used it
helpful.
once for a customer service issue I had on Etsy, and I drafted an email that I was going to respond, and I had like receipts in this email because I was like, this lady is no, she. So I had all of this, and I was like, but I think I need to make it sound nicer. Like, I'm coming off,
Right.
I don't want this to backfire on me. So I put it into ChatGPT and I said, help me write this customer service response. It took out all of my receipts and was like, I am so sorry that we disappointed you and all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, that's actually better. That makes me come off a lot better.
Well, yeah,
So,
what's the phrase? Wait, write something and then wait 24 hours before you send it.
yeah.
ChatGPT is like the best way to get you to not be a Karen.
Yeah, but I think that, you know, again, it's just helping. Like, it's a tool for us
Yeah.
to use. So it's out there. Jake, I don't know if this is something you can answer, but it's something I have two questions. One, do I need to continue saying, please do this to ChatGPT? Like, is it gonna remember that I'm kind? Because that's what I'm worried about. Like, what if, like, in 10 years, it's like, nope, that girl was a B to me. Is there any like data on that?
As far as I'm concerned, it does not care if you were kind or not. It has
Okay.
no idea that you are a person.
Okay. Good. I'm still probably because I'm a Midwestern nice lady. I'm still gonna probably say, please help me with this.
I to this
I'm
day still
sorry.
say please and thank you and all
Yes, I do
that. Oops,
too.
sorry
Yep. about that, you know. Okay, so that was my one question. And the other one was, you know, with ChatGPT, you have a login, right? So does it start to learn me when I'm logged in versus the responses it might give to Holly or to you?
That's a good question. So, the way that I understand, at least with ChatGPT, is that every new like conversation you start is a new instance. So it
Got it.
is
So if it's in that same
yes.
thread, and that's why on the left side you have
Yeah.
it makes a
Yeah.
title for every
So if you
conversation.
have a full conversation, you know, that's let's call it 100 exchanges long, and then you create a new one and say, hey, in our other conversation, it's not going to have any idea what you're talking about.
Interesting.
Well, and that's interesting too, because you can then send a link to a conversation. Like Holly and I will share things like that when we were coming up with names for the podcast or when we've asked for prompts for topics or things like that. The other thing that I think is interesting with this is like, is it just going to keep all of this stuff in perpetuity?
Yes.
Okay. So
It
that's amazing because.
is data harvesting all the time.
All
Do
the
you think
time.
that, okay, let's go back to ethics for a second. Say you commit some sort of crime and you've used ChatGPT to help you in some way. Is it data that can actually be used as evidence in any way? I mean, I guess.
I think that remains to be seen, but I
Yeah.
don't see why not. So
Yeah.
it's a good point. I mean, it, you know. So I work for a healthcare institution, right? And that's something that comes up a lot is how can we utilize this technology? But obviously I can't just put in protected health information. Like I can't violate HIPAA laws and things like that, right? So I can't really use it. Like there's a lot of things I'd like to do with it that I can't do. But you know, going back to something I had mentioned before, there's other models out there and there's other things besides ChatGPT. So if you're serious about this and you're using it for business reasons and you have industry secrets or proprietary information, you can run your own models in a private setting. that don't touch the internet. There's actually one called Private GPT, which is really, really cool that you can run on your own computer if you wanted to. It's probably helps to have kind of a nice computer to do it. It's still a little bit hardware intensive, but it's getting better. And you can feed it all of your own documents. You can feed it PDFs and Excel files and CSVs and Word documents and all of your business documentation. You can feed it. It never touches the internet. And then you can have essentially conversations with your business documentation. And it's all safe, which is really, really cool. And that's going to start getting better and better and better as time goes on and technology gets better.
It's fascinating. I did. So I know you had encouraged me to subscribe to ChatGPT before, which I do find very, very beneficial. It does have DALL-E connected to it, which is like Midjourney. And so yesterday I was inputting prompts for some watercolor clip art, and I was pretty pleased with some of the results that came out of it. So it's interesting how everything is integrating and doing that kind of thing. The other thing that I find interesting about AI, especially in text world, and I really wish Etsy would jump on this, but they haven't, is that so I have a Shopify site for one of my stores, and it has AI built into the description. So you can put in like keywords and it'll generate a thing, and you say, yep, accept it, and it'll plop it right into your description for you. Like it's all built in. So I mean, I really starting to think we're going to see this more throughout different things we're using all the time now. Like it's just going to become the norm.
I think if you're using GPT at any type of frequency and not just playing around with it, pay the $20 or whatever it is and get the subscription. It's well worth it. GPT-4 is significantly better than 3.5. Plus, have either of you played with the Explore GPT's function?
No, I haven't yet. No.
There are thousands of different, GPTs that people have created. I use it all the time in so a current class that I'm taking right now is like it's called Data Abstractions and Algorithms. And I can put in a program that I've written in Java and say, hey, is this doing what I'm hoping that it's doing? And it'll go through it and run it and give me examples. And it's great because
That is
I can find a
fascinating.
GPT that is specific to Java or Python or whatever. I can find one for writing. I can find one that is for discussion boards, which is something I have to do a lot in school. I can find one for helping with citations. I can find one for all sorts of different things. Like there's, you just go into this Explore GPTs and search for what you want. And like, I can, here's a, let's see, SEO. Yeah. Here's one that 50,000 people have used. Enter any URL and keyword and get an on-page SEO analysis and insights.
Amy, you need that
I do need that.
for your business.
Jeez. Well, and I was just thinking too, like I've often used it for like ideas for blog posts, right? So like, here's my business, here's what I do. Give me 100 ideas for blog posts. And then it spits out a list. And I really like it for that kind of jump start piece. And I really haven't explored it yet in like, give me some ideas for new products. That's kind of something I think could happen. But I'm definitely using it too to help tweak my SEO. So I'll say, okay, here's my product description, my lengthy one. Part of it has been written by ChatGPT, right? But now I need a 200-word lead-in that is SEO friendly, that hits these keywords. Just help me pull the pieces together. And it's not that I am not capable of it. Like my undergraduate degree is in writing, right? And I'm all like, give me this. And so, like, it's not that I can't, it's that this is going to be faster and I need to make the most use of my time. And so I am still giving it something and then it's spitting it out. And sometimes I have to tweak it because I'm like, that is a bunch of useless words.
I do think for me, it's been an incredible time saver. Incredible. Like, because I tend to not focus a lot on social media. And so for me, if I have a schedule plan to generate social media, then I can go like, I need five social media posts. Here's like the gist of what each one is. Pop them out. Please say visit my website. So I even do this for our podcast. I'll say, please include visit lattesandlasers.com or listen to where you get your favorite podcast. It'll make sure it plugs it all in for me, and it just time saving. It's crazy. I love it.
Right. I agree. And you know, when I'm writing up the episode synopsis for that goes into our podcast feed and the blog post on the website, I will often take some of the different talking points from our script and I'll plop that in. I'm like, help me write a, you know, three paragraph synopsis. Here's the title of the podcast. Here are the hosts. Here's some of the things. And again, it's like you said, it's a time saver.
Because there's always something coming out saying, well, you got to be doing this, you got to be doing that, you got to be doing this, and you got to be doing that to make your business successful. I'm a one woman show. I don't have time to do all of those things, you know? So it's pretty cool. I actually used it. I wanted to update one of my home pages. I have like a one pager website for one of the small businesses. And I just said, hey, I need a home page. This is what my business is. What are the segments of my page do I need? And it gave it to me. And then I was able to just like update my homepage within a matter of like an hour. It was like done, you know? But time saver, total time saver. Not that I want to take the business away from Amy and her web development, but it was nice to be able to just get something going. Because we've talked about generating landing pages on our podcast. You know, we've talked about how SEO incorporates into that stuff as well. So tools like ChatGPT are gonna, you know, help you get there at least until you're like at a point where let me hire an expert who can maybe take it to another level. So.
Well, and the other thing that we've talked about a little bit, and Jake, this kind of goes into that singular conversation, and it's starting to get smarter within that, is you can give it key points of your brand voice. And then it picks up on that. And that is also fascinating to me because that has, you know, in the communications marketing kind of space, you know, there have been times in my professional history where I had to write a blog post for a high level official in my organization, right? Well, and you got to write it in that person's voice. So I had to do all that computing to figure out, like, okay, yep, this is gonna jive with that person's voice. And part of it is listening to them talk and catch up on that. So I start to think back to that and how that can even transform some like speech writers and things like that. Now that's obviously way out of the maker space, but it's fascinating.
It is.
Yeah, it's interesting that, and I found myself doing that sometimes too. This, okay, I like what you've given me here, but make this more conversational, or make this more peer-to-peer, or make this more authoritative. And you can change the tone of that with while keeping the content the same. It's pretty cool how you can do that.
Well, and Amy, you and I talked about how Google using its, you know, spiders to crawl out there and find things is really looking for ma more natural conversation type
Yep, that
of.
natural language processing.
Yeah, we talked about it with ranking and SEO, like SEO and Etsy, and how in the past, Jake, in the past, people would put like they'd stuff their keywords at the front of their description and it wouldn't be conversational, wouldn't be a sentence. And now that's what Google wants. And so that learning to like make things more natural sounding is important.
It's not just that, it's resumes now too. That's another thing.
Yeah.
They're getting
Isn't
kicked
that
off
crazy?
a lot with job searches. Indeed is a
Wow.
big one that uses AI.
Wow. Do you think it's going to take jobs away from people?
AI?
Yeah.
If it does, I mean, were those jobs important, or could we use those people
Different capacities.
in better
Yeah.
capacities anyway? What were we really using that manpower for?
Yeah.
The argument that AI takes jobs away from people, or like it's going to be this Terminator Skynet, I'm not really worried about that.
Yeah.
People are dumb,
Well, I
but
mean, yeah,
I'm
you
not
have your
really worried about
conspiracy
it.
theorists out there.
I think what really worries me is government regulation from people in government who have no idea what they're doing. That worries me a lot more.
Typical.
That is Yeah, well, that's a whole nother conversation, but
Yeah.
that could lead to much worse ramifications, I think, than what AI could try to do on its own that people are worried about.
Yeah. It's wild.
There,
Yeah.
there's a lot. There's a lot with this.
Is. You could go into so many different areas of it. It's
And I
crazy.
think what's truly going to be fascinating is the whole like ethics piece and how that evolves and disclosures. You're seeing that even just with like Photoshop. Like, think about all of the news with the royal family and the
Yeah.
like photo of Kate Middleton and the Photoshop and all of that. An AP putting out a kill notice. Like, they don't do that very often.
Your pet doesn't do hands very well. You were wrong.
No, right?
Well, to be fair, neither do I.
I know.
I've
Okay, so
never
you
been
can't
able
draw
to
all
draw a hand.
that.
When I had life drawing in art class in college, and there was like a model up on the thing, I was like, guess what? You're going to see
Arms
the
behind.
model's shoulder and then the apple. I'm not going to draw. I don't care that her hands are up here. No, nope, you're going to see the shoulder and whatever is behind her. I am focusing.
Oh, it's so crazy. So crazy.
This has been a really enlightening conversation. So thank you for joining us, Jake. I think it was good to have someone who has a little more technical insight to provide on how AI actually works and what it's doing. It's really clear that AI holds some transformative potential for the maker community.
Yeah, I do think that it has a lot of potential for anybody, and I do encourage people just to explore them. Don't be afraid of it. They might be like what you need to, like we talked about, get inspiration or just save you some time, right? Just some different things to kind of help benefit, your business. So yeah, Jake, thank you for joining us. The technical side is definitely something we don't understand. Like, I just use it.
Right.
But it's
Yeah,
been
thanks for having
helpful.
me. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure being here and always love talking about this stuff.
Awesome.
I can't wait for you to get into it even more.
Well, we'll have to have you come back.
For sure, for sure.
All right.
Yeah.
And then you got to let me know if that girl ChatGPT is catching on how nice I am.
I will.
Okay. So I need her to have my back.
Oh, yours is a girl. Mine's a guy.
I've decided it's a girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I'm talking to a friend.
We should be able to name them.
Like,
Funny.
and then whatever you name it is probably reflective of how old you are. Like, like the 80s late girls, like, we're like, oh, that's Jessica or that's Sarah, Catherine. I don't know. Anyways.
I love it. I love it.
All right. Thanks, Jake.
You bet.
Right, let's
All right.
wrap this up.
All right. All right. So that was really good. I enjoyed that conversation. Look, we have one more episode after this week. We're excited about it. And it's been a lot of fun. But I do want to say, please still subscribe to us. Go to
Yes.
Lattes and Lasers. You can find us out on our website. You can do the YouTube channel. You can listen to where you can find all your favorite podcasts. We do have some plans through the summer to just kind of introduce a few little bits and pieces here before we, not summer,
Spring.
Spring, I guess,
Q2.
yeah, because we'll be coming back sometime in the summer. We're not quite sure when, but yeah, so we would love for you to chime in and let us know things you want us to talk about too. So
Yeah. And just to kind of tease our episode next week, we are going to be talking with a sales expert and getting some tips on how to not be so scary about sales. It's not a dirty word. That's one of her big phrases. And she likes to look at sales as an art and a science. So we're going to kind of look at it in those ways with that expert we have next week. So
super cool. I'm
I'm
excited for that.
excited. All right. So Holly,
Okay. I'm not
time for
looking yet.
another cheesy sign off.
Woohoo.
Again, these have been written by ChatGPT. So,
Yes.
all right. So as we reach the end of this podcast blend, remember, life's too short for bad coffee and dull ideas.
Keep brewing up brilliance and cutting through the chaos until our next roast. Stay caffeinated and stay creative.
Cheers.
Not
Bye,
as
everyone.
funny as last week's, but it
No, it's not. But I felt it was still like it was clever.
It is clever.
Podcast blend, you know.
Blend. All right, folks, we'll see you next week.
All right. Bye, everyone. This episode of Lattes and Lasers is brought to you by The Laser Collective. Unlock the full potential of your laser cutting and engraving business with our user-friendly laser files. Our carefully designed laser files are tested for quality and are commercial-friendly files, ensuring you can easily create beautiful projects that will impress your customers and drive profits for your business. Learn more at thelasercollective.com. Save 10% off your next order at thelasercollective.etsy.com with promo code LattesandLasers10.